The following content is provided to you as a ministry of Snowbird Wilderness Outfitters, a high-adventure Christian wilderness camp in Andrews, North Carolina. Snowbird Wilderness Outfitters exists to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ through the exposition of Scripture and personal relationships in order to equip the church to impact this generation. For more information, visit our website at swoutfitters.com or follow us on Twitter using the handle at SnowbirdSwo. Enjoy the message.
Y'all get your Bibles and turn to John 1. Welcome, everybody. Good to see you. It's really late, but last night, probably stayed up later than this. So, and you're teenagers, so yeah, I think we'll be all right, don't y'all? So we're going to study the book of John, which is impossible to do, as Rob mentioned earlier. It's impossible to do that in a short amount of time we've got to do it in, but we're going to fly over and hit some main key points in the Gospel of John. So really good. It was early in my Christian life. I was about 20 years old, new Christian, and somebody said, just read the Gospel of John, and then when you get done, read it again. And then when you get done, read it again. And then when you get done, read it again. And just keep reading it. See how many times you can read it your first year you're a Christian, something like that. I don't remember exactly what they told me, but it was something like that. And it's because there's just such gravity to how we understand who God is and to our Christian foundation laid out in the Gospel of John. So I'm excited. So we just come through Christmas, right? And it was really cool here because we got two local churches that are here. Was that not awesome? Where y'all at? FPC Andrews right here and Shepherd Church over here. We had a white Christmas here, which happens once every 10 years. And it was awesome, man. We had a Christmas Eve service at our church, and as we're getting ready to go in and we're getting ready to start the service, people are coming in and they're like, it's snowing. And then by the end, it was maybe an inch on the ground. And by the next morning, at my house, we had 4 inches. That's just awesome, man. That's completely different way. It's hard, if you've never had a white Christmas, it's hard to explain how much that increases the excitement. You know, it's really just an awesome time. But at Christmas, we celebrate the coming of Jesus into the world, right? That's what it's all about. That's why we do it. And I want you to open your mind up and think about a really deep reality before we dive into John 1, and it's this. I know that you know this. If I ask you this question, most of you could answer it. But we know that Jesus did not begin to exist when he came into the world. He had already existed from eternity past. Now, if you think you're going to wrap your brain around that, you ain't. And I ain't. Because my brain is not, my brain's small, you know. I was bad in school, y'all. When I was in school, I'm not throwing off just being funny, I'm not trying to be just make jokes. Legitimately, I made less than a normal human should make on the SAT. We'll just say that, okay? And back then, I don't know, most people take the ACT now, I think, but I took the SAT. I'll tell you, back then, 1600 was perfect. And let's just say I did not make 50%, okay? I think you got 600 for signing your name, something like that, okay? So I'm not a smart guy. I'm not a philosopher. I'm not philosophical. But the smartest people that have ever lived cannot wrap their brains around eternity, okay? So don't get discouraged. There are certain things about who God is and what God – there are certain things. There are aspects of the nature of God. There are aspects to the Scripture that you will never figure out, and that's a good thing, not a bad thing. You'll never figure out your best friend. There's things that your best friend will do, and you'll be like, what is your deal? I'll never understand why you do that, you know? And if you get married and you stay – I've been married, so not counting married years, but we dated and engaged a year and a half or something like that. We're coming close to 30 years. It's been 29 years. And there's times where I know my wife is and my wife's the girl that's playing drums a while ago, and she's what is that? Why? What's going on in your head? You know, can't figure another human out. We think we're going to figure God out. Jesus existed in eternity past. So that what that does is that intensifies the miracle of him becoming one of us. For an eternal being to enter into time, this boggles the minds of physicists, scientists, philosophers. You'll hear, if you stick it out, man, and you go to college, and let me just tell you, college ain't for everybody. Some of y'all need to learn how to turn a wrench, rebuild an engine, rebuild a transmission, be a plumber, be an electrician. Like, but if you end up in a philosophy class or a physics class that's being taught by an atheist or a non-Christian, a secularist, a humanist, they're going to say they're going to talk about things like the space-time continuum, and they're going to try to figure out how do you take something that has to have always existed and fit us, because we're finite. The earth is finite. Clearly, we had a starting point, and it's like, poof, it blows their minds. They can't figure it out, so they just start making mess up. Well, it exploded into existence. Like, it's ludicrous. Like, it's ludicrous. And so what we know is that there is a pre-existent. Everybody say pre-existent. Pre-existent. There is a pre-existent God who existed before all of time. Time had a starting point, and that starting point was when that pre-existent God created time and space and matter. 800 on the SAT, and I got it. So you can do this. Y'all with me? A smooth 2.3 GPA. Somebody said, was that weighted? I was like, I don't, do shop classes weight anything? I don't know. Like, you don't have to be smart to figure at least this much out, that something bigger and greater and more eternal than what my mind can comprehend started all of this. And whoever or whatever that was must then have a plan that is bigger than what's going on in our lives right now. Y'all with me? We can agree to that. So let's dive into the pre-existent Christ. The Jesus that existed before the foundation of the earth. That's where John 1 takes us. All the other Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, begin the story at the time of Jesus' incarnation, his physical beginning as a human. John starts way before that, okay? So that's where we're going. John chapter 1, we'll start in verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. So let's walk through this and give a couple thoughts here. Okay, so few things that this tells us. The first thing this tells us is what we've already talked about in the introduction. Jesus has always been. He's always been, which means He existed long before the first Christmas. Okay? So this is important because this is the miracle of what we, I'm going to give you another big word, the miracle of the incarnation. Everybody say incarnation. Incarnation. Y'all ever go to the Mexican restaurant and get something with carne? Carne asada. Like, what does carne mean? It means meat. It means flesh. In flesh. Jesus was pre-existent God, became in flesh, in human form, okay? So, He was pre-existent. He became one of us. He entered into history by becoming one of us. So, He became human. This is fantastic. And what people have tried to do for centuries is figure out, so was He totally God, or was He like half and half, like 50% God? Was He like a demigod? No, He was fully, truly, 100% God, and He entered human flesh, making Him truly human. It's wonderful and miraculous and mind-blowing, especially for a 2.3 weighted GPA. All right, He did this in order to save us. That's why He did it. So why did He do all of this? He did it to save us. Well, if He did it to save us, we must have needed saving, right? You don't go save somebody that don't need saving. Like if you walk, you go up to somebody that's perfectly coherent and try to give them CPR. What's going to happen? You're going to get slapped, punched, sued, arrested. Something bad's going down for you. Okay, so you don't save people that don't need saving. Somebody's in the, if you're a lifeguard and somebody's out there just enjoy, you working at the town pool, somebody's chilling in the water, and they're doing that back float thing. And you're like, they don't look alive. They're floating. You, watching. They don't look right. And then they decide they're going to go under, see how long they can hold their breath. And they happen to be really good at holding their breath. And you dive in to save them, and you pull them out, and you're like, are you okay? And they're like, yeah, bro, I was all the way up to like 46 seconds, man. You messed me up. I got to start over, right? Somebody only needs to be saved when they're in trouble, when they're dying, when they're injured, when they're wounded, when they're poisoned, when they're like people need to be rescued from something that's going to harm them or kill them, right? So Jesus entered into all of this to save us. Now, verse 3 tells us that Jesus made everything. So we're talking stars, galaxies, grizzly bears, night crawlers. That's where my mind went. Grizzly stars and I was like, creation, stars, galaxies. And then it was like this long pause when I was preparing this. Night crawlers. That's what I came up with next. Y'all know what night crawlers are? Modern city people call them earthworms. Night crawlers is what we call them. All right, so grizzly bears, baby humans is on my list. Baby humans, God made those. Every cell and every atom. I'm trying to read my writing. Mountains, this is mountains. Mountains, rivers, snow and rain, and then I ran out of ideas. At Colossians chapter 1, listen to what Colossians 1 says. You'll be familiar with this. It's a very familiar text. Colossians chapter 1, it's kind of like one of the pillar texts about how Jesus is the creator. So in Colossians chapter 1, the scripture teaches us that Jesus was before all things. So it reaffirms what we're reading in John chapter 1. And in verse 16 of Colossians 1, it says, for by him all things were created in heaven, on earth, visible, invisible. His list sounds better than mine. Okay, so Western North Carolina, Southern Appalachian, let's pretend that my list made the book. Jesus made everything. Stars and galaxies, night crawlers and grizzly bears, baby humans, cells and atoms, mountains and rivers, and snow. Okay, now let's read the authoritative word of God, and let's read that version, okay? In heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him, and he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 2 reinforces the same thing. Listen to this. But in these last days he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things, through whom also he created the world. So Jesus made everything according to John chapter 1 and Colossians chapter 1 and Hebrews chapter 1. And verse 4, not only did he create everything, but life is literally in Christ. So this gets deep. He's creating because he's the source of life. Jesus will later in this same gospel, John chapter 14, he'll say this, I'm the way, I'm the truth, I'm the life. He is the source of truth. He is the source of light. He is the source of life. True life comes from him, and it's a gift. In fact, not just true life is a gift. Anyone who breathes has received the gift of life. But Jesus says in John chapter 10, not only am I life, but I will give you abundant life. I'll give you good life. I'll give you fulfilling life. I'll give you life that satisfies. I'll give you a life that if you live it for the next year or 5 or 10 or 50, whenever you come to the end of this life, you will look back and go, it was rough, there were some hard spots, but that was good. That was good. Now I'm going to go be with Jesus. And you'll transition into eternity. So he's the source of life. And in verse 5, it says that the life and light of Jesus is greater than all the darkness that this world can throw at you. My youngest daughter asked me a question recently. She's young and she's not youth group age yet. I got a good sized family and their ages are spread out. And so I'm talking theology with older kids like who are smarter than me and have more education than me. And then I'm talking, trying to explain the eternal existence of God to an 11-year-old. It's easy for the guy with a 2.3. She said this, Daddy, did God make COVID? I wrote it down. Did God make COVID to punish the world? That's a good question. Good question. Here was my answer. I sat down after that and wrote it, so this is not word for word. God created a perfect world. He said it was good. Go back and read Genesis 1 and 2. It's good. But sin came into the world. People brought that. And with sin, pain and death and destruction came into that perfect world. When sin entered into the world, it opened up a hole. And I was trying to draw this visual picture. I said, imagine it opened up like a hole and poison started to pour into this really good creation. And as it came in, you couldn't see it with the eye at first, but it began to contaminate everything. And pretty soon you could see the evidence of it. People turned on one another and wickedness began to be rampant. And at one point it got so bad that God wiped everything out and started over with a plan and a purpose for salvation. It was like an invisible poison poured in and contaminating everything. But nothing could stop the poison. Nothing could stop sin. Good works don't stop sin. Good, like, work, try hard. It's like, it's think of it, it's kind of like this. It's like, think about the masks. We all got to wear masks. You got to wear masks at school. I carry my little mask around. I got it right here. Got my mask, right? Does anybody, don't say yes or no, or I'm not being opinionated, but do we think that this is stopping COVID? No. I mean, there's opinions to, maybe it slows it down, maybe it keeps you safer, but here's the thing. I got a friend. Good friend. He's a deacon in our church. Was the most diligent person I knew. I still know. He's still living. I'm not. That's not where the story's going, okay? They did everything by the book, and they got COVID. You know, I'm talking to him, and he's like, man, it's just frustrating. He's like, I wasn't trying to be like a jerk about it. I just thought, okay, if I follow the rules. Listen, it's one of those things where I think it's a good picture of, it's very frustrating when something's out of control and you can't really do anything about it. You try to do some things. And so think of it like that. It's like this thing going back in time was running out of control and everything was just getting worse. That's what sin did to creation. We needed something greater, a better plan, a better idea. As a result of sin and contamination, everything began to die. Everything started to die. Ever notice how there's a lot of sadness and death in the world? You ever feel that? I do. Longer I live, older I get, more coffins and caskets I stand in front of. My friends right here from Andrews, we buried one of our own last week, 16 years old. I preached his funeral right here on this stage. Got killed in a car wreck. You ever feel that? You're like, man, what is going on? I was in the 11th grade when it hit me for the first time that I remember. Sit by this girl. Her name was Lori Lale. Sit by Lori every day. She's one of those like class friends, you know what I'm saying? Like, we had assigned seats. And so I knew her at class. We weren't like chilling after school. Like, we weren't in the same friend group, but we were cool. You know what I mean? Like, you got friends in class. Like, me and Lori would talk one morning. Lori wasn't in school. What's up? I wonder where Lori's at. Lori, not in class. If I had I in first block, it was English, which was a terrible, hard class. They all were. And in walks the principal, and he walks up to my teacher, Miss Underwood, and he said something real quiet. She started crying. Lori got killed in a car wreck on the way to school. I remember thinking, what? No. No. She's like a good kid, man. She's just driving to school. Ain't nobody's business to run over her and kill her. Like, get mad and there's no answer? You know what I'm saying? I didn't know Jesus then. What do you mean she's dead? That's the dumbest thing I ever heard. She shouldn't be dead. That's stupid. Why are we going to live in a world where 17-year-old girls get killed on the way to school? That's the dumbest thing I ever heard of. And you get frustrated and you get angry. And the longer you live in this world, the more you're going to realize it's broken, y'all. It's busted. It's messed up. It's dark. It's poisoned. And it's contaminated everything. And what we need is something with the authority to conquer the poison, to bring an antidote, not a temporary vaccine, not a flu shot. get the flu shot, and you're like, oh, that's sore, and I feel bad, and I got to get another one next year. We need something bigger than that. Verse 6. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. So we're not going to drill into that. That's about John the Baptist. I like to refer to him as the original gospel gangster. You should do a study on that cat. He was the man. All right, let's go to verse 9. The true light, which gives light to everyone who was coming into the world, he was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him, but to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. So what's that mean? It means, well, we've already established from the text that Jesus created everything. There in verse 9 and 10, it tells us again, he created everything. In verse 11, it says he created everything, and then he entered into the world. Remember the poison and the brokenness, and everything's jacked up, and death is real, and destruction is real, and we need somebody that can rescue us from this. And Jesus came into the world, and he's the answer. He's the light. He's the truth. He is the one who can save us from the power of sin, from the penalty of sin, from the presence of sin, from the work of sin, from the prevalence of sin, from the authority of sin. Jesus can save us from it. And he shows up, and he shows up among his people, the Israelites at first, the Jews, and they rejected him. Say, what? What about the, what, it's broken, it's dark, and people are, what's, and they rejected him. But in verse 12, although many people rejected him, including his own people, verse 12 says a lot of people didn't reject him. They received him. And as many as received him, to those folks, he gave them healing from the poison. He gave them the right to be called sons of God, daughters of God, children of God. See, the poison is put to death by the death of Jesus. Imagine, man, I went one time, I had to go to the doctor, I had to go to the hospital, and I thought I was having a heart attack. Look, I'll tell you, somebody told me they went to the ER recently, and they had to sit for like 6 hours before they could get in. I went to the ER, I thought I was having a heart attack, it was pain. I had pain right here, that's what made me think it. Right in this region, sharp pain. Walked in, I said, I think I'm having a heart attack. I was back like that, man. He had me like shirt ripped off, stuff stuck all over me, monitor right here, hooked up. They're reading my heart rate. They shoved me through this machine. What do they call that thing? You go like a tunnel, whoop, like this. It's taking pictures of the inside of your chest. I was like, whoa, like that. People say you got to wait at the ER. Not today, baby. Like here we go. Went right in there, and the lady said, you have a family history of heart failure. I was like, oh, my dad died. Like, he had what's called a dissection. It's where you're, like, I think the aorta went something like rips. It's a brutal way to go, man. And, like, I was like, yeah, that happened to my dad. He was young. He was, like, in his early 50s or something. She's like, we got to check you for that. And I was like, that sounds cool. That's dope. I'm down with that. Like, you're like, okay. That's why I came to y'all. I don't know how to check me for that. You know, like, it hurts here. He died from something here. Let's figure this out. Y'all excuse me, ma'am. Did you go to school for a long time after high school? Mm-hmm. Okay, I want you to figure out what's going on in here. So they hook me up. They put an IV in. Y'all know what IV is? Goes in your vein. If you don't like needles, you ain't gonna like getting no IV. That sucker's like a like you vaccinate cows with, like, whoop, they pop that thing in. I was like, woohoo, like right in the arm it goes, all right? And then they pull some blood out. Then they shoved this thing into my arm. It was a drug. It was called Dilaudid. And I was like, woohoo, I ain't never done drugs in my life except that day. And that was the happiest place a man with the pain I had could go to. I was like, whoa! I was like, whoa! I'm not even laying on the bed. I'm levitating. This is awesome. I felt good, like right now. All the pain was gone. They shot this dye into me through that thing. They ran this dye, and it took it a while. I had to go through my blood, like all of, like, and they're reading it through this machine, right? This MRI machine or CAT scan or something like that. And they're watching it, and they're tracing the blood. What are they doing? They're looking to see if there's a hole that it's leaking out of, you see? Or is it staying in the veins? It's fascinating. I'm watching it on the machine. I was high as a kite. Woo, that was a trip. Whoa! You know, it was like, wow. And it was nothing. It was good. Like, it ended up being something else. I had something wrong with my upper abdominal region from a parasite I'd picked up in South Asia. It's a long story. Anyway, so they're like, nope, your heart's good. You just got worms. I was like, okay, is this medicine good for worms? I would like more of this, please. Nope, sorry, we're going to unhook that. Woo, like I crashed right back down on that bed. Oh, like this, okay? But it was like, it was going through my veins. And afterwards, I was talking to the doctor, and she said, oh, yeah, we can watch that travel. And I'm like, what a visual picture that before you meet Jesus, imagine the poison that poured into creation has poured into you personally, and it's contaminated you. And what Jesus does is he steps up to the cross, drinks the cup of God's wrath for that poison, even though he doesn't have it in him. And what he does is he says, I will give you that which will heal you from this poison. That's the gospel. Jesus saying, I'll step in. So go back to the question. Is God mad at us and that's where COVID comes from? No, we live in a broken world. And what Jesus did is he entered into the broken world so that he could rescue us and bring us out of it. That's the gospel. And as many people as receive him, they get to be sons of God. Verse 14. And the word became flesh. Oh, one other thing. Verse 13. This is cool. Who were born not of blood, nor the will of flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. He has the, I want you to understand that Jesus has the will and the authority and the power to save you. I think that's important. Jesus doesn't save through negotiations. He saves by way of his authority. In other words, it's not like Jesus is like, well, let me see what kind of deal I can cut for you. Like, no, he, like, as many as received him, it says, they receive salvation. Call on the name of the Lord, receive salvation. When I receive what he's given, when I believe in him, then I receive salvation. In verse 14, and the word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we've seen the glory. Glory as the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. He came to save us, to rescue us from the brokenness and the poison. And the gospel of Jesus Christ is the cure. John bore witness about him and cried out, this was he of whom I said, he who comes after me ranks before me because he was before me. For from his fullness we've all received grace upon grace. I want to look at that right there. Grace upon grace. Okay. If you read this in its original wording, because it wasn't in English originally, you translate it back and look back into its original wording, it said this. It said, we receive grace instead of grace. So when you read it in English, it says grace upon grace, and it feels like there's this journey, grace and grace and more grace. But in the original, it says grace instead of grace. Well, like I'm reading that and I'm going, okay, I really need to understand what's being said here. And the reason it gets translated grace upon grace is the idea that the translators of modern English Bibles are trying to show us is that the grace that God gives us continues to get bigger and greater because we need an increasing grace extended to us. But this is important because the gospel idea is that when Jesus saves me, he saves me by grace. Y'all, that means I don't earn it. It means I'm not religious enough. It means I'm not good enough. I'm not smart enough. I'm not talented enough. It means God looks at me and gives me salvation as a gift. Okay? As a gift. Then instead of that, tomorrow, I get more abundant grace. It's a picture of what I'm receiving is increasing so much in my life that the longer I walk with Jesus, the deeper, the fuller, the richer, and the greater that experience will be. So Jesus doesn't just say, so this is important, I think, in the Bible Belt. A lot of people have this mindset that, well, I got saved, I get to go to heaven. I would ask you this. When you received Christ and you were saved, look back at that time from then till now. Do you see an ever-increasing, ongoing work of grace in your life? Because you should. Like my day with Jesus today should be so rich and great and full that when I look back at earlier seasons of my life, I can see the growth. I can see what Jesus is doing because he's rescued me from the poison, and now he's given me continued ongoing grace.